to the second episode of God, the podcast. I'm your host, Patch Drury, and this week we are talking about Superman. And you may be asking yourself why, on a podcast dedicated to transcendence and spirituality, we would be talking about Superman. And that's because, for me at least, and I think for a lot of people, Superman was kind of a quasi-religious figure growing up. He was an aspirational figure for sure. Some people would say he is the latest in an incarnation of a long line of mythic sun gods like Apollo and Ra, and then you get to Superman, and he kind of represents a lot of the same things. He taught a lot of people how to behave and taught them morality. And as our guest Jamie Groover today will say, any man can be a Superman. And so in that way, Superman's very aspirational for a lot of us. If your introduction to Superman has been his latest cinematic appearances, I'm very sorry. You haven't been given an appropriate picture of who Superman is, because in those movies he tends to be, in the first movie he kills a guy to solve a problem, and that's a pretty un-Superman-like thing. The Superman versus Batman movie seems to be, we see a little bit of Zack Snyder coming through the cracks, because he can't imagine a world where somebody like Superman isn't distrusted because of his power. And that may be a very realist but kind of cynical take on the whole thing. And that's the thing about Superman, is whatever you're bringing to the table is going to color your picture of Superman. He, like all comic characters, he's drawn realistic enough that you recognize him as human, but he's also abstract enough that you get to project onto him, and you get to take a ride in his body for his adventures. And so if you are someone who's hopeful and full of hope and looking for an aspirational figure, Superman's great for that. But if you're looking for a super authority figure or a power source to kind of reject, he's also good for that. And so I feel like Zack Snyder and the people behind those movies, their take on Superman is a little too cynical for me. And in that sense, Zack Snyder is kind of like Lex Luthor, because he sees Superman and he kind of rejects him because he's not human. He doesn't trust him because he's not human, and that's kind of Lex Luthor's whole thing. Is they both characters, Superman and Lex Luthor, are kind of ultimate personifications of humanism. So Superman is the ultimate personification for humanism because he believes he is there to lift humans up when they need help, but he believes totally in the goodness of man and man's ability to accomplish things. And he just wants to be there to help. Lex Luthor looks at humanity and says, we are the pinnacle. We are as good as it gets. We don't need Superman. Get rid of that guy. And so that becomes a metaphor for transcendence in a lot of ways. Some people believe transcending this objective reality, having some kind of spirituality in their life, is a way to lift them up as humans and take them to the next level. And some people look at spirituality and reject it and say, we as humans are all we've got. We don't need any other power pulling us forward, whether it's God or a spiritual path to actualization, whatever it is, we don't need it. And so we're all really kind of on the same side of that. We all want the best for humanity, but we disagree on the way to get there. And so some of us take the Superman route, some of us take the Lex Luthor route. But anyway, if you have seen those movies and maybe you feel like there's something missing as far as Superman, here's a movie you can watch. And Superman barely appears in it. He doesn't appear in it at all. He's only mentioned in it. But The Iron Giant. The Iron Giant, to me, personifies what is great about Superman. Because in that movie, the titular character, the Iron Giant, this big giant robot, is given a choice. And he's told, you can choose what you are. You can be a gun, which is an object of destruction and death, or you can be Superman, which is a symbol of helping people and strength and loyalty and altruism. And so if you're still trying to get a grip on who Superman is, ignore the movies that have his name in them and go see The Iron Giant. That's probably enough for me right now. Our guest today is Jamie Groover. Jamie Groover is a local author, historian, and scholar. He is remarkable. He is a genius. He is one of he has some work out there that I read, and it kind of flipped my shit. I loved him, and then I found out he was local, and so I tracked him down one night at Shamrocks and was like, I love your stuff, and I think I probably freaked him out. But he's a great guy. He's really super nice. we met and talked about Superman for quite a while at a comic book store because that seemed appropriate. And we didn't know it at the time, but we were meeting on Miracle Monday. If you've never heard of Miracle Monday, listen to this episode. You'll find out what Miracle Monday is and why it was such an awesome moment of serendipity that that's the day we were getting together to talk about Superman. So thank you guys for checking us out, and here's the interview.
We're here with Jamie Gruber at Collectibles Etc., and we are talking about Superman, and specifically Superman as a potential path to transcendence, or Superman as religious iconography. Am I speaking your language yet, Jamie?
Yeah.
Do those descriptions make sense?
Yeah, for sure. You're right in my wheelhouse there. Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. Jamie is a writer of comic books and prose. I would also, I don't know if he'll accept this description, but I would also call him a scholar and a historian. Those feel accurate to
sure.
me.
Sure, yeah. if you want to put those upon me, I will graciously accept them.
Gotcha. So when I scheduled this interview to talk about Superman, what I didn't know and what has blown my mind all morning is that today, unbeknownst to me, is actually Miracle Monday, which is kind of a fictional / real-world Superman holiday.
Yeah.
So it's almost as if I had scheduled an interview with somebody about Jesus and had done it inadvertently on Christmas Day or Easter.
Exactly.
So tell people about Miracle Monday. What is it? Where did it come from?
Miracle Monday first appears in a novel of the same name by Elliot S. Magan, who was one of the most prolific Superman writers of the 70s. It was the second Superman novel that he wrote. The first one was called Last on Krypton. They actually have just, I believe today, reissued the book. You can buy it with a new cover. I think definitely as an ebook, but I believe there's a print copy as well that they just reissued today. But the basic premise of the book is that a time-traveling journalism student from the future named Kristen Wells comes back to 1981 when the book came out, to discover the origins of Miracle Monday, which is a ubiquitous holiday in the future. What ends up happening is she discovers that a demon, whose name is CW Saturn, which is a little bit of a joke because it's an anagram for Kurt Swan, who is the most prolific Superman artist in history. He drew the book from the 50s through the 80s. But he was a demon sent from hell, and he was going to try to basically destroy people and destroy Superman. And long story short, Superman defeats him, and in defeating him, he's granted a wish, and he wishes for all the bad that has been done to be undone. And what ends up happening is everyone forgets the events of the day, but the third Monday in May every year, people have an unexplainable sense of ease and happiness that they can't explain. And so Miracle Monday, within the universe of Superman comics, becomes a recurring holiday, the third Monday in May, and eventually it becomes a more codified holiday with more religious-style practices where you set out a plate for Superman, you save an extra chair for him.
It's very Passover-ish.
Just like saving a spot for Elijah. You save a spot for Superman, and each person puts a little bit of food from their plate onto the plate for Superman. It only appears a couple times in the comics, most notably in Superman 400. There's a story called The Living Legend of Superman, and you actually see a family.
So I used to have that book.
Celebrating Miracle Monday, and Superman, due to some time travel shenanigans, actually ends up showing up at their house, and he comes and he actually is able to sit in the seat and eat the food saved for him.
So two reactions. One, naming a time-traveling character Wells, little on the nose.
Yeah, maybe so, yeah.
The second one is this will be aired after Miracle Monday.
Sure.
But I would ask everybody to look back and think, did I have an unexplainable sense of ease that day? And if so, think Superman.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I realized about myself, the reason I wanted this to be a topic on a video series that's about transcendence and religion is that I had two religions growing up. Mm-hmm. My parents gave me Christianity, and for myself, I picked Superman. And Superman really was kind of a religious experience for me because he was this larger-than-life mythic figure. He taught me morality and how to treat people. He was in my thoughts a lot. Would you say your experience with Superman has been religious on some level?
Oh, for sure. I had someone, this would have been a couple years ago, on my blog, ask me, you know, what my religion was. And while I wasn't going to be completely transparent about that, my only response was what is, in my opinion, the best Superman panel ever from Superman 156, The Last Days of Superman, the best Superman story ever, in which Superman, believing that he's about to die, leaves his final message for humanity. He flies up and, using his X-ray vision, or his heat vision, he writes on the moon, do good to others, and every man can be a Superman. And he signs it Superman Clark Kent, revealing his identity because he thinks he's about to die. And so, yeah, that, you know, that was my answer to them. Like, what's my religion? Do good to others. Every man can be a Superman.
Awesome. That's a pretty good answer.
Yeah.
There are at least two comic creators who were responsible for writing Superman Adventures who claim to have had real-life experiences with Superman.
Sure.
First is Alvin Schwartz, who was a Golden Age writer, and he claims to have manifested Superman. He has a book called The Unlikely Prophet, which I'm rereading right now, where I think, it's been so long since I finished it the first time, I think he claimed to manifest Superman in order to save something happening on a Ferris wheel, maybe. I may be completely misrepresenting that.
I've read about that book. I haven't read the book.
It's okay. It's a good book. Yeah. The other, Grant Morrison, one of the greatest Superman writers in my estimation, he claims to have met Superman a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Once he will admit it was a person doing cosplay as Superman, but represented Superman so thoroughly that he based his version of Superman on him. And then another time, under chemical chemical influence, met Superman in his hotel room and had a chance to interview him.
Right.
What do you think? Can we as humans, can we manifest Superman physically, or can we take on his spirit? Is that the best we can do? Where do you land on that stuff?
Well, it's especially with Grant Morrison, it can be difficult to tell how literal he's being when he talks about that kind of stuff. And I tend to agree with him. You know, when he says things like superheroes are real, or read this comic and superheroes will become real, or Superman is real, or Santa Claus is real, I would echo all of those statements, right? I would say Superman is real. Santa Claus is real. They're real in the only way that really matters, right? They may not be literally physically real. I can't walk up and see actual literal superpowered Superman and touch him, but in the same way that I can't see the wind, nevertheless, the effects of the wind exist. The effects of the idea of Superman, the idea of Santa Claus, the idea of an unstoppable, ineffable force for good, those have power, right? Metaphors have power. Metaphors are perhaps the most powerful things that we have as humans, right? The ability to understand metaphor, if anything, is what separates us from animal, right? Abstraction.
Yeah.
And so the idea of Superman is real, and that's all that matters. And so if you talk about, like, a tulpa, like Schwartz would, or like Morrison does when he talks about the idea that Superman cosplayer being some kind of tulpa, or he writes about Superman as tulpa in Action Comics, the story of the Super Doomsday, who is actually a literal thought form brought to life and then becomes corrupted by a corporation and then goes and devours the other pure, more altruistic Superman, etc. When you see that kind of thing, you know, it's a metaphor for what's true. You know, if enough people believe in a thing and give weight and power to that thing, there's no difference between it being literally real and only metaphorically real.
I'm very influenced into the works of Joseph Campbell. I talk about Joseph Campbell a lot.
Sure.
And specifically his description of kind of the universal father. And to me, Superman, I had a great dad, but to me, Superman was always kind of a father figure. Mm-hmm. And I remember reading somewhere saying that Superman was supposed to represent, he was supposed to be eternally 29 years old. And I've heard other people say 35, whatever it was. When you get older than that age, you're like, holy crap, I'm older than Superman. And you have to kind of atone with that. The great thing about Superman as a father figure was there was none of the really messy stuff. You know, Joseph Campbell would say we have to atone with our fathers and we have to come to terms with the fact that we eventually are going to replace them. And so that becomes kind of a messy coming of age thing. To me, with Superman, that was Jimmy Olsen's problem. Mm-hmm. You know, Jimmy Olsen was his son that had to kind of deal with, my dad's so much better than I am. Can I ever be? And so he would gain superpowers for a while, and he would feel jealousy. And some people would say he was in love with Lois Lane, the way Joseph Campbell would say, we're kind of all in love with our moms on some level. So he had the messy relationship with Superman.
Sure.
Agree or disagree?
Yeah, I would say that's true. I don't think I really had thought about it that way, but yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely by, you know, the Silver Age of comics, the mid-50s through the 70s. And then, you know, well, into the 80s, definitely Superman had definitely attained that status as your square dad. but, like, your weird, yeah, he kind of definitely had that, takes on that aspect for sure.
I was having a conversation with somebody the other night about Superman, and he pointed out that he thought Superman was a Christ figure. And I kind of pushed back on that a little bit because I think he's more of a Moses figure than a Christ figure. And there's the whole thing that Moses was Christ, you know, that they represent the same thing. But as far as the Moses story, Superman was put in a basket and rocketed across the Nile of the universe to his new parents, his new Egyptian/Kansas parents. Mm-hmm. So Superman, Christ or Moses?
Well,
also Jewish creators.
Right.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, sure. My answer is both and neither. because, well, comics writer and critic Chris Sims refers to the pop culture commentary of Superman as a Christ figure. He refers to that as comic herpes. Because it won't go away. You see it in, especially in Superman Returns, in that movie, Bryan Singer's Superman Returns.
He really lays it on his
thick, where you've got Superman in the, you know, the cross pose up in the sky and all of that stuff. The idea, you know, it doesn't work on a complete 1-to-1 basis, right? There, you can look at it and go, well, Superman came from the sky, and then he's here to save us, right? And if you really wanted to stretch it, you could say, like, he sacrificed his life to save us, and then he came back to life. But it's like that's true of every superhero.
And every god figure.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
You could make the same argument for Colossus from the X-Men, right?
He
died to save all of mutant kind, and then he came back when Joss Whedon wanted to write him.
No one's really arguing Colossus is Osiris.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, ultimately, yeah, you're right. There's a little bit more of Moses in it because Jor-El's not sending Superman to Earth to save Earth. He's sending Superman to Earth to save his son.
To escape Krypton.
And, like, you know, on Christmas, after Jesus is born, heaven didn't explode, right? So, like, the analogy kind of falls apart on that one. Moses works a little bit better. You've got two Jewish creators who are, you know, creating Superman in a way as this kind of idea, this thought form to be the champion of the oppressed, right? Which is a thing that fits Moses as well, right? He's sent among foreigners, he's raised among them, and then he uses his position of power to help free his people, right? And so, in a way, Superman is like that. Superman's like a golem. He's like a tulpa/golem. He's a thought golem. I don't know. Right.
He's been infused with intentionality and
yeah. He's a fictional thing made from the clay of the nascent art form of comic books and made real.
Yeah.
Right. And in the sense that we were saying before. You've got the fact that his name is Kal-El, which is Hebrew for the voice of God. You've got that. There's definitely Jewish elements in Superman. Right. It would be very hard to argue that Superman is textually Jewish. It's quite easy to argue that he's metatextually Jewish. And he exists, you know, as a counterpoint to what would have been at that time the very timely Nazi ideas of Aryanism. And you've got literally the story that wasn't in the comics, but it was in Life magazine or whatever magazine, where Superman beats up Hitler and he gives him the decidedly non-Aryan sock to the jaw, right? so you've got that kind of thing. But at the same time, you've got Siegel and Schuster themselves saying that, you know, their inspiration for Superman was not religious in a Christian or Jewish sense. Rather, they were pulling from Greek mythology somewhat. You can see that. There's obviously the parallels between Superman and Apollo. There's a reason when Warren Ellis created his Superman analog for the Authority, he called him Apollo. Or you've also got other Superman analogs within Marvel, where the Superman analog's name is just straight up Sun God, right? He's powered by the sun. He's a champion of justice, like Apollo would have been. And so you've got elements of that. Of course, they're also pulling big time from Pulp Fiction, right? The novel Gladiator being a significant inspiration for Superman. John Carter of Mars, similar kind of thing, where you go from one planet to another and the change in gravity affects your powers. So you've got those elements. And so Siegel and Schuster would say, you know, that they were not they weren't using religion as inspiration for their creation, but ultimately, you know, in this, you know, postmodern, post-structuralist world we live in, we don't care what the creators have said. Ultimately, at this point, you know, almost nearly 80 years since his creation, Superman kind of belongs to everyone now. And so what Superman means to each individual is more important.
So
ultimately,
we get to impose our own needs on the character.
Yeah.
Batman versus Superman, good or garbage?
The movie?
Yeah.
I didn't even see it. You couldn't pay me to see that.
We'll take that as an answer. Yeah. Christopher Reeve, Superman, good or garbage?
Oh, great.
Great.
Yeah. Christopher Reeve as Superman, very good. The movies, I think, don't hold up as well. The third one is better than you want to think it is. The first two, I don't think, hold up as well. Even the Donner cut of two is not quite as good as you want it to be. But Christopher Reeve as Superman, impeccable.
He was great. I felt like those movies, including Superman Returns, which was obviously an homage to the Donner movies,
for sure,
lacked scale.
Mm.
When you've got Superman, and that's what, when they finally did this Man of Steel movie, literally the only thing, not the only thing, but one of the only things that got right, I felt, was if you've got a man who's as powerful as Superman, whatever he's fighting needs to be on par with him.
Sure.
And so, you know, the first Superman movie, he's stopping, you know, crooks and robbers.
It's a real estate scam.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so I think in comics even, it's hard for people to get scales. Superman is largely about scale, I think, in a lot of ways. So if somebody were interested in getting involved in Superman and starting to join the religion, what are the scriptures they need to seek out?
Oh, boy. I actually recently, I made a list for somebody who said their friend thought Superman was boring. What should I give them to read? And I made a list. I don't have it memorized.
That's okay. You can send it to me and we'll link it below.
Okay. All right. We'll do that.
If you have one thing that you get to use your heat vision to put on the moon about Superman, what is it?
I got a copy from Superman. It's the best one. It's the best. He already said the best thing. You know, you can't improve on that. It's the best.
Be good to each other.
Yeah.
And you can be Superman.
Exactly.
In parentheses, Jamie Gruber.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. That's put my name on the moon. Why not?
Anything else you want to say?
Nah, man. I think I'm good.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, me too.
Appreciate it. Happy Miracle Monday. That was our episode with Jamie Gruber, all about Superman as a means and source of transcendence. Really appreciated Jamie coming out. Really freaked out that it all happened on Miracle Monday, but that's just the world we live in. We want to write that stuff off as coincidence, and maybe it is coincidence, or maybe there's a mover behind the scenes putting little things in place just to thrill us, just to amaze us, just to remind us that this is an enchanted, beautiful world, and God is a merry trickster. I'm just rambling now. Anyway, thank you guys for listening. Remember, support us by clicking the donate button here on our page, our God the Podcast page. I do this out of love, but it would also be nice to be able to feed my four-year-old through it. So please donate, and please continue to listen to all the Breadbox Media podcast, and especially to God Podcast.